Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Despite all of the cheerleading about how great the economy and markets are doing this year, you remember we did actually have a collapse in the stock market last year, and the beginnings of the cracking of pretty much the entire banking system in March of this year. But the average portfolio fell by about 25% in 2022 with a mixture of stocks and bonds. So people who are bragging about their year-to-date return in 2023 kind of sort of like to forget about what happened last year. They don't talk about the business cycle to date. They talk about how good they're doing this year with their favorite AI pick, which, by the way, haven't been doing so well in the past few days. Those buy and hold bag holders need to be up 33% this year to date just to break even. Because the AI-infused S&P 500 is up 16% so far. That means that the buy and holders are still down huge from the start of 2022 when PPS went bearish. But the bear market is not over yet. We just are having a very typical, mundane, and perfunctory bear market bounce. The first phase of the bear market is indeed over, but the second and more destructive part of the bear market is still ahead. The reason why the second phase has been held in abeyance, despite the biggest, greatest triumvirate of asset bubbles in history existing concurrently, is primarily because Jerome Powell's Bank Term Funding Program, which he launched in March, that bailed out the entire banking system. And of course, there is a part of the reason also because of the terming out of debt on the part of consumers and businesses. They just don't have to refinance as much as they did in 2008. So you don't have a lot of adjustable rate mortgages hitting all at once, or a lot of corporate debt to refinance all at once. That's still coming, but it's not happening right now. So those two factors have served to delay the ultimate reconciliation of asset prices, but it has in no way canceled the recession or eliminated the consequences of having a record amount of business and corporate debt, both in nominal terms, of course, but even in terms of our phony GDP, as a percentage of our phony GDP. There's no mystery here. It was free money. That was the reason for this massive accumulation of debt. I mean, what else would you expect to happen when it costs corporations and consumers next to nothing to borrow money? This massive and record accumulation of debt engendered record asset bubbles, and that led to record high inflation. Record money supply creation, record borrowing, record asset bubbles, and record inflation. They all go hand in hand and follow each other perfectly. Soaring inflation necessitated a record pace of quantitative tightening and 525 basis points of rate hikes within the past 16 months. That inflation brought the Fed to become inflation fighters. They're not naturally prone to do so. But they had no choice. I mean, the average consumer was getting crushed by inflation because it wasn't 9%, it was really 20%. So pitchforks and flaming arrows were heading towards the Eccles Building in Washington. This tightening of monetary policy continues to be necessary to ensure that inflation returns to the Fed's asinine 2% target. Hence, we have a perfect recipe for a financial crisis. But nevertheless, for now, the bubbles do persist. But just wait. While it is true the Fed has bailed out the entire banking system, it is also true, if the Fed hadn't done so, many financial institutions would be bankrupt if they had to hold on to their underwater mortgage-backed securities, commercial mortgage-backed securities, and corporate debt. So if the Fed does not extend the bank term funding program, which they probably will, I mean, I guess they have to, it come March, because it was only a one-year loan at par for these troubled assets. If they do extend it, we will have to wait for the massive maturity wall to hit, which will crush the credit markets in 2024. The maturity wall is where hundreds of billions of dollars in junk, high-yield corporate debt must be refinanced at much, much higher rates, which means about 20% of the publicly traded companies will have to close their doors. And just think of all the massive layoffs and stock market chaos that are coming, because they cannot exist when they have to pay almost double-digit rates for their financing when they used to pay close to zero. It was low single digits for them. That is the latest we have to wait, 2024. But still, for now, this market doesn't make a bit of sense from a valuation perspective. It is one of the most expensive stock markets in history. From a risk premium standpoint, from a price to sales point of view, from a total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP standpoint, it doesn't make sense from a liquidity perspective. 530 basis points of rate hikes in 16 months along with QT. It doesn't make sense from a money supply that is contracting standpoint. And it doesn't make sense from the fact that banks continue to tighten lending standards and credit availability. And it doesn't make sense from a growth perspective either. We have three consecutive quarters of an earnings per share recession. Even the credit rating agencies get it this time around. Fitch has downgraded the credit rating of the United States. Moody's just cut the ratings of 10 banks by one notch and placed six banking giants, including Bank of New York Mellon, U.S. Bancorp, State Street, and Truist Financial on review for potential downgrades. The rating agency warned that the banking sector's credit strength will likely be tested by funding risks and weaker profitability. I just touched on that when I said that hundreds of millions of dollars of junk bond debt has to be rolled over beginning in 2024 and increasing into 2025. But those facts has not stopped Wall Street permabills from deriding recession calls. This is nothing new. I want you to listen to some of the headlines from the mainstream financial media hit parade leading up to the meltdown of the global financial system and Great Recession in 2007 and in 2008. The following was compiled by a newsletter called InvestTech Research and sent to me by one of my clients. Quote, home prices fall just a bit. Brokers see a soft landing. New York Times, January 3rd, 2007. The jobs report is a perfect picture of a soft landing, The Economist says, February of 2007. Fed Chairman Bernanke projects a soft landing. Sounds familiar, right? A soft landing for the U.S. economy. That's also February 2007. Bernanke again, there is no recession on the horizon. I guess he had to have a cataract fixed or something. Or maybe he was looking at the horizon from a hole. This was CBS News on March 2007. The U.S. economy is on track for a soft landing, the Dallas Fed, in September of 2007. Again, soft landing ahead for the U.S. economy, the International Monetary Fund, November of 2007. As we go through time, these predictions get more and more asinine. No recession expected this year from the Congressional Budget Office. That's, and by the way, 2008, January of 2008. Moving on, President Bush and the Fed sees no recession ahead. Associated Press, February 2008. And finally, leading indicators show weakness but no recession Reuters reported that in May of 2008. So please try to not take too much solace from the permeable financial media and their lackeys and sycophants who try to convince you to always buy stocks because there's never going to be a recession. Know your history. That's what I would deeply convince you to try to do, and I am helping you to do just that. That's why I'm here. I now will highlight a few crucial points about the credibility of the Fed and how the lack of it affects the U.S. debt market. Based on recent history, the Fed's mandate appears to be to ensure we have unstable prices rather than stable prices. In the past 3 years, inflation has gone from 1% to 9% and then back to 3%. A 3% inflation rate means the value of the dollar gets cut in half in 24 years. A 9% inflation rate, if we go back to where we were in 2022, in the summer of 2022, that cuts your purchasing power in just 8 years. The U.S. bond market is getting it. Higher inflation, along with skyrocketing borrowing needs, are causing interest expense on the U.S. debt to approach $1 trillion per annum. During the first 9 months of fiscal 2023, the deficit hit $1.4 trillion. That is up 171% from last year. Deficits are running at 8% of GDP during the good times. Just imagine how high deficits are going to surge during a recession where the automatic economic stabilizers kick in. The national debt is now $32.6 trillion, which is a record 130% of GDP. According to the CBO, entitlements and interest expense alone will equate to 100% of all taxes by 2040. This skyrocketing debt issuance is happening at the same time foreign buyers are losing interest in our debt market. Also, the Fed is now a seller of treasuries through its quantitative tightening program. Spiking bond yields should lead to stock market and economic chaos in the near future. We know what happens when this has occurred in the past. The Fed is then forced into being the buyer of last resort of multiple trillions of dollars in both government and private sector debt to bail out the banking system and the treasury. Unfortunately, we will then be very lucky if inflation stops at 9% during the government's next round of bailouts and helicopter money. Therefore, if you do not have an active and dynamic inflation deflation strategy, your retirement plans may be shelved. And if you are already retired and your investment strategy is to be a passively managed pigeon, you may have to familiarize yourself with LinkedIn. But it doesn't have to be that way. These dynamics between recessions, depressions, and stagflations and runaway inflations can be actively navigated properly, having a viable and robust strategy and model that measures and maps the changes in the second derivative of growth and inflation. And that is exactly what we have here at Pento Portfolio Strategies.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.